Maui's coral reefs are under siege from any number of human impacts, and nearly a quarter of them have been lost in the last 20 years. As such, they're a bellwether for the state of reefs in Hawaii and the world. And last week, the Maui Coral Reef Recovery Team met to outline ways the reef can be saved. We spoke with Dr. Bob Richmond, chair of the Maui Coral Reef Recovery Team, about its findings and about the path ahead.
Personally, I'm an optimist. Professionally, I'm a pragmatist. And the reason why is I can't get out of bed in the morning without a certain degree of optimism, and I can't do my job if I'm not a pragmatist.
Well, pragmatically, you see solutions, right?
Oh, absolutely. When we take a look at what we describe as the state, or actually the plight of coral reefs right now, there's no question we've seen a downward trend for quite a while now. And certainly in Hawaii, we see it in coastal waters, everything from runoff from land. We've all seen those brown water events.
Yeah.
So land-based source of pollution, everything that's used on land today ends up in the ocean tomorrow. And we know that's wreaking havoc with everything from burial of corals outright to feeding the algae and allowing those to overcome areas to interfering with the ability of corals to reproduce and to persist. Overfishing is a very big issue for Hawaii. And we see the extraction of very important groups of organisms, the lawnmowers of the sea, that would normally keep algae in check.
Yeah.
And they're overfished. And then finally, we've had climate change impacts. The last few years have seen horrible bleaching events that have taken out large areas of coral. Some have recovered, but many areas have not.
It doesn't take much of an alteration of water temperature to do serious damage, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, we know right now what the causes are. We also know what the solutions are. And it comes down to political will, whether or not we have people in positions of authority that are willing to use the knowledge that's available and do the right thing.
Well, given, given the climate for science generally, are these findings taking hold? Are they taking hold with the public? What kind of responses do you get when you...
Yeah, we track this very carefully. I think part of the problem has been scientists traditionally have not communicated as clearly as they could have with the general public. The fact that a lot of people still are confused about the issue, some of it is what we call manufactured uncertainty. And this throws back to the days of the tobacco industry and oil industry and others of purposely manipulating and misrepresenting information. And I think people saw in the last election false information that's touted all the time.
Sure.
But I think most people do understand that there are real problems going on. It's a little bit harder when it's a future issue. There's been a number of studies on the psychology of climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Most people look at it as a future event, but it's here today. And if you talk about all of the problems that come with climate change, from water shortages and crop failures and people being displaced due to sea level rise, those are pretty catastrophic. But if there's a bee buzzing around in the room, people are going to be focused on the bee because it's right now. And I think people need to understand that it's not game over. And I think that's one of the messaging issues with the scientists. I was the convener for the Coral Reef Symposium we had here last June with over 2,500 participants from 97 nations. And the overwhelming consensus was that corals are in trouble, but they're not doomed. And we have every opportunity to turn around the downward trend right now.
Well, because that puts it in perspective. Whenever you hear the downward trend described, it just seems almost hopeless.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the messaging. Human health and reef health are completely consistent with one another. That, first of all, for a place like Hawaii, coral reefs are critically important. They're the goose laying the golden egg. They're valued at over $36 million a year in revenue to the state. They provide all kinds of ecosystem services, including protection of shorelines, so that people recognize that when humans get sick, you take interventions to try to fix it. If it's a matter of people that are smoking cigarettes, drinking too much alcohol, we can do changes in our lifestyle and we can see immediate returns in our own health. Sometimes we're in a sicker state. We need to have other treatment. Same for coral reefs, is that coral reefs as a ecosystem are sick right now in many areas. And we know what we need to do to prescribe the right kinds of actions and activities to turn that around.
When you were describing earlier the effects of dumping, effluent into the ocean, how damaging is that by comparison with the human impacts of just people walking on the reef, as we see so much on Oahu?
Yeah, it's a matter of scale. When people walk on the reef, which is a terrible thing to do, it's pretty localized just along that track. When you look at the kind of runoff that we see from land, we have the worst system for drainage I've ever seen anywhere in the world.
Really?
It's a very effective system. If you wanted to design a system to kill coastal reefs, you couldn't do better than Hawaii. We have these concrete runways from the mountains to the sea, and every time it rains, we have, in one case, we do studies in Mauna Loa Bay. After one big rainstorm we had in December 2008, we had over 20 tons of sediment deposited to a mid-channel reef off of the Hawaii Kai Marina. No coral reef can withstand that.
There have been other stories like that over the years, and it's a devastating effect, right?
Yes, and I think that's why one of the reasons I'm here today is I chair the Maui Coral Reef Recovery Team. This is a group of people that's come together under the leadership of the Maui Marine Resource Council, Maui Nui Resource Council, and a group of scientists, managers, stakeholders, cultural practitioners, all focused in on the same thing. What do we know, and how do we put that information to use to ensure, in the case of Maui, the sustainability of Maui's reefs? And now there's efforts. The governor signed at the World Conservation Congress an effort to move forward on what's called 30 by 30. 30% of Hawaii's coastal areas well managed by the year 2030. So I think the political will is here. The communities want to do things. And the partnership between scientists, managers, stakeholders, educators, cultural practitioners can actually make it work.
Given all those pieces coming into place and you start tomorrow, what are your immediate steps?
Several things that we have good tools now, and fortunately we have really good managers in the state. In particular, I have to say how impressed I am with the people that work for the Division of Aquatic Resources on Maui. Russell Sparks and Darla White are exceptional in terms of the work that they do and their interactions with the community. And that's being able to get people to engage on recognizing that the oceans are not the cornucopia that will yield everything forever at the rates that are unsustainable. So getting what are called community marine managed areas together where community has input, it doesn't mean complete closures, but being able to limit certain activities that we know take out the herbivores, the lawnmowers that are most important, letting fish get to a size where they can reproduce and begin to replenish the populations. And a lot of it now is focused in on infrastructure. Land-based development can occur, but it needs to be done properly with the on-site retention of water. And what we see is a lot of areas where land is cleared and erosion takes place, and we have tons of sediment, pesticides, household chemicals going to the ocean. The ocean simply can't be the recipient for all of the waste. And what we're really doing is turning an asset, fresh water, into a liability when it comes to our coastal marine resources.
Oh, the ironies of the Hawaiian Islands being places in which that is managed badly are many.
Yeah, and there's no reason why we can't turn that around, too. In a world of climate change where we expect right now the 2 degree would be good if we can stay there. A lot of us are looking at the data. The 2 degree temperature change doesn't seem to be the range in which we're going to stop it at the moment. But just think about what that means. The condensation point for clouds goes up about 800 feet. Clouds are not hitting the Ko'olau Mountains, so we don't get the same amount of rainfall. But when we do get rainfall, it comes in large amounts. So it's not what we call the mean value, the common value average. It's these extreme values, the way I like to explain it. You can have a glass of wine a night for a year. That's 365 glasses of wine in a year, and that's not a problem. If you had 85, 90, 100 glasses of wine in a night, you're dead. And that's exactly what we're doing to our reefs. So better on land retention of water, because it is a precious asset. And I've never been on the Kalani-Aniole Highway where it hasn't been dug up somewhere. If we start doing water collection under the roads on these sites as well, that not only protects our coastal reefs, but it gives us the water we need into the future.
Dr. Bob Richmond is chair of Maui Coral Reef Recovery Team and director of UH Manoa's Kewalo Marine Laboratory. You can read about his team's findings at MauiReefs.org.